Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to look at some more reasons from the Bible that the earth is young. Now, there are many secular scholars out there, obviously, who believe that the earth is millions of years old. But what I want to address today is, there's many Christian, these are believers, Christian scholars out there that believe that the earth is millions of years old. Now, friends, did they get that from the Bible, or did they get that from the opinions of fallible men? Okay, is that from science? Science being a discipline that has been wrong in the past, and that's okay. That's okay. But are we trusting in fallible men? Are we trusting in the Word of God? Now, the Bible doesn't just flat out say, the earth was created in 4000 BC and, this and that, and going forward with dates, all right? It doesn't exactly tell us, Jesus was born in the year 4001 or, something like that. But what we do have is many different scriptures that you can piece together that give you, it's like a puzzle, and you're fitting pieces of the puzzle together to look at just, how old the earth is. And today I want to look at the genealogies that you find in Genesis chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 11. Because those genealogies actually tell us, for the most part, not exactly, but pretty darn close, how old the earth is. And friends, it is not millions of years old. It's not even 10,000 years old. And I've shifted on this position in the past. I've always stated to friends and family, it's somewhere around 6,000 to 10,000 years old. No, after doing this study, it's not even 10,000 years old. We're looking at somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 years old. All right, and I'm leaning towards 6,000 years old. When you look at the genealogies, it's pretty hard to come up with anything other than about 6,000 years old. Now, many Christian scholars who believe that the earth is millions of years old will try to insert gaps between days of creation, and we've addressed that a little bit in my series on the age of the earth, okay? So check that out. They also try to insert gaps in between the generations in Genesis chapter 5 and 11. And we're going to look at that today. And perhaps in the next few days, I have a feeling this series is not going to be a one-parter. I think it's going to be two or three. And when we get done looking at these genealogies, it's a slam dunk, guys. It is cut and dry. The Bible is pretty clear that we're looking at a young earth. Again, why would a Christian believer, these various scholars out there, you have Hugh Ross, he would be somebody in the forefront who is teaching an old earth. And this is a good Christian man, okay? I don't doubt that Hugh Ross is saved. I've read some of his books. I've listened to many of the audio out there, different audio MP3s that he has available, various debates. I love the guy. He's a good man, but he's mistaken here. And he's going with man's opinion over God's word. And as you look at many of his arguments for an old earth, when he starts getting into the Bible, oh man, it's a train wreck. It is a train wreck. It is grasping at straws and really, I hate to say it, but scripture twisting to make the earth look older than it really is. Now, why? Is it uniformitarianism? We've talked about that before, this concept that at the pace at which things happen on earth now, that's the way they must have happened in the past. Therefore, the earth is old. Another theory that some people have is that, this is sad, but perhaps there's just a lot of pressure that is put on many scholars to just try to compromise, to fit in with the scholarly crowd. And so some compromises are made. And, I believe that the earth is millions of years old. I don't know. Perhaps it is a situation where Well, friends, let's face it. Many Christians and many unbelievers also make a grave mistake concerning historical science versus observational science. Historical science is when you're using history and you're piecing various bits and pieces together from what historical evidence we have to try and come up with a theory that best fits what we're looking at. All right. It's not something you can test, retest, come up with a theory, hypothesis, and test it and prove it. All right. It's not something you can observe and retest. Whereas observational science is something you can test and retest and observe. Okay. And that's, you know, there's a big difference between historical science and observational science. When you're talking about the origin, the creation of our earth and the universe for that matter, we're getting into historical science. None of us were there. We didn't see it. We couldn't take pictures. We didn't have a camera. We couldn't interview anybody who was there at the time. All right. It's nothing we can test and retest. All right. It's something that happened in the past. So now we have to look at the evidence and piece it together. Now, I'm sticking with God's word, personally. I'm not going to stick with man's opinion. Science is awesome, okay? My brother is a scientist. I love science. But let's face it, it is based on a secular, naturalistic worldview. And when you, as a scientist, start publishing things that have an intelligent design bent, okay, that maybe perhaps the universe was designed, oh boy, you're in trouble now. You're going to get shut down. Your voice is going to get silenced, all right? And so, I mean, it is what it is. You know, many people say, well, why aren't Christians publishing in journals? Well, guys, it's because they can't. As soon as they try, they get shut down. Check out that movie Expelled by Ben Stein. All right, so we want to start with the Word. The Word has proven itself. I mean, there are prophecies throughout the Bible, hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that have been proven to be accurate. The Bible is and has portrayed an accurate account of history that can be, you know, confirmed through secular history, all right? It also contains many scientific statements that were long before science had actually proven these things out. I haven't done any series on this to date yet, and I plan to. And there's some interesting things in the Bible that it's like, wow, how would a bunch of Jews running around in sandals in the dirt thousands of years ago, how would they have known that? All right, was it a lucky guess? And there's no statements in the Bible that actually prove it to be scientifically inaccurate. So I'm trusting in the Word, okay? There's so many reasons. God wrote it, and I'm trusting it. What does the Bible say? Well, starting in Mark chapter 10, verse 6, check this out. This is one of those statements that, as you're reading through the Bible, you know, it just kind of breezes by and you just keep going. You don't think about it. But listen to this. Jesus said, From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. What that's saying is, from the very beginning of God's creation, humanity was here on earth. Humanity was here at the beginning of creation. When we go back to the 6 days of creation, again, as we proved, as far as the Bible is concerned, God's word is very solid, very clear on this matter that the 6 days of creation were six literal days, okay? They were 24-hour days, give or take a couple minutes, okay? The earth has been slowing down, so whatever the case. All right, six literal revolutions of this planet, all right? And on that sixth day, humanity was created. Adam was created, and then Eve was created. In other words, humanity has been on this planet since 5 days after this planet was created. Since 5 days. And so if we can, using these genealogies in Genesis chapter 5, if they're complete, okay, we haven't proven that yet, if we can show that from these genealogies, all right, we can see the generations from Adam all the way down to Abraham, which is generally calculated to be about 2,000 years. But these are the generations that are in question, right? Everybody's debating about it. You know, how many gaps are inserted? How many gaps are actually missing between Adam to Abraham? Now, from Abraham to Jesus, there is no debate. Christian scholars, secular scholars, we're looking at about 2,000 years, all right, give or take, right? And from Jesus to now, well, again, there is no debate. There's no debate, so we don't have to worry about this. Secular scholars, Christian scholars, they all agree. We're looking at about 2,000 years now. It's been a little over 2,000 years now, but you get what I'm saying, right? There's no debate there. So we've already got 4,000 years right there. But what about from Adam to Abraham? And those genealogies are contained in Genesis chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 11, all right? And in Genesis chapter 5, just so you guys know, if you don't have a Bible in front of you and you're doing some work, you're driving your car down the road or whatever, Genesis chapter 5 goes from Adam to Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you know, the sons of Noah, right? And then Genesis chapter 11, it picks up after the ark has landed and the land is dried up, right? And it goes from Shem to Abraham. And so you can take Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 all the way to, let me see here, Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, right? And you can cut and copy that. And then you can take Genesis 11, starting at verse 10, and go to verse 32. You can cut and copy that. And you can splice it all together, and you have one long genealogy from Adam all the way to Noah, okay? And I went ahead and did that for this study. Now, when you read this long genealogy, you get one continuous, you know, Adam begot Seth, and Seth begot Enosh, and Enosh begot Canaan, and Canaan begot Mahalil, and Mahalil begot Jared, and so on and so forth. And it goes all the way to Abraham. There are no gaps, but there are scholars out there, yes, I already mentioned Hugh Ross, there's many others, that want to insert gaps in these genealogies. Can they do that? Does the Bible even allow for that? There are questions about the Hebrew word yelad, which is the Hebrew word for begot. And things are pointed at, like in Luke, there is a parallel genealogy, and there's this name that shows up out of nowhere, Canaan, who is supposedly the son of Arphaxad. And so that's used to say, hey, look, right here in Luke, we see that there's a missing person. Therefore, because there is a missing one generation, that must mean that there's tons of other missing generations. There's also some discrepancies between the New Testament Greek word that's translated begat, and a genealogy is pointed to that is in the New Testament that uses that other New Testament Greek word begat, and there is clearly some missing genealogy or generations, okay? And then that's translated back, okay, and that definition of the New Testament Greek word for begat is superimposed onto the Hebrew word yelad for begat. What? Why would you do that? Okay, the Hebrew word is different from the Greek word. You know, are we cool? I mean, everybody understand that? Does that make sense? They're different words. So even though the New Testament Greek word for begat can mean more than one generation, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament cannot be demonstrated to mean more than one generation. There is some instances in the Old Testament where this Hebrew word, yelad, is said to encompass more than just one generation. And we'll look at those too. They're bunk, okay? A careful reading of the text clearly shows that the people who are trying to say that this encompasses more than one generation are twisting scripture. You know, I hate to say it, but that's what's happening. All right, they're bunk. It really just doesn't work. And so anyway, Tomorrow we're going to look at this genealogy and we're going to see, is there any gaps here? Is there anywhere, we'll go through this whole genealogy. Is there anywhere you could possibly insert a gap? And no, this won't be long and drawn out and boring. It'll be fun. I'm not going to just go name by name so much as I have spliced together parts of this genealogy in such a way where I can read it really fast and skip all of the stuff that's good bedtime reading and just get to the point of, is there any possible way we could insert generations here? Or is this a name by name father, son, grandson relationship going from Adam all the way to Abraham with nobody missing? Yes, we can. And we will see that tomorrow. So, friends, I'll stop right there. Friends, if you like these types of podcasts, if this is your first time listening, welcome. If you like worldview training type material, you like creation, evolution, cult research, understanding things like the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, are they a cult? Are they not a cult? Various teachings, false teachers, false prophets. I like to cover all these types of subjects, Bible difficulties, Bible contradictions. If you come out to my website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and click on the podcast archive link, in that area I have nearly 500 podcasts. Friends, they're all free. They're all for you guys. And so go ahead and download whatever interests you. And if you guys want to talk about it, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, and now my worldviewpage.com. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.